Good afternoon, everybody. I am Brianna Wegner. I have just recently earned my master's degree from South Dakota State University, and today I will be talking to you about the response of nitrogen fertilizer rates on agronomic and environmental performance of Ethiopian mustard, which I will refer to as Carinata throughout the presentation, and specifically for South Dakota. A brief outline of my talk. I'll introduce some topic about oil seeds. We'll talk about objectives and methods. We'll look at our results and then summarize with some conclusions. So as we've heard before about the importance of oil seed crops for various uses, most importantly the biofuels, but we in South Dakota also grow them for things like cooking, and they can also, the oils, be used in industry. And there you can see we grow sunflowers, canola, and soybeans in the region, and we are now looking into growing our Carinata and Camelina as well to kind of introduce some diversity into our rotations and expand on our oilseed production as well. So for this study, we chose to evaluate the response of Carinata to various nitrogen fertilizer rates. This would be if a producer would want to grow this and be profitable, they would want to fertilize and see if they could increase yields through that route. And then we also want to evaluate the environmental impacts that adding nitrogen fertilizer will cause or may have, since we are also conscious about sustainability and how this is going to affect our environment and ecosystems. So for our materials and methods, our study site was located at the research farm at South Dakota State University. For our climate, we receive approximately 500 millimeters of precipitation a year. And our soils are well-drained, so we don't have any wet ponding issues. And then we went ahead and we looked at both winter camelina and our brassica carinata. But for this presentation, we will focus mostly on our camelina. We will focus on our carinata. Sorry about that. For our winter camelina, we went ahead and planted that in the fall of 2013. And then in the spring, we went ahead and planted our carinata. So we were kind of looking at a winter-seeded crop and a spring-seeded crop. And so this is just a picture in case you're curious of what it looks like. When it flowers, it'll get a little yellow flower, kind of like canola, but it's a lot more bushy and robust looking than canola is. So for the variety, we called it Joel, or I believe that's how I pronounce it anyway. And then we had treatments for fertilizer. We had four of them: a 0 kilogram per hectare treatment, 28 kilogram per hectare, 56 kilograms per hectare, and then 84 kilograms per hectare. And that roughly translates to 0 pounds per acre, 25 pounds per acre, 50 pounds per acre, and 75 pounds per acre. Our plots were not very big. They were 1.5 meters by 7.6 meters. And then they were arranged in a split plot design where we had the crop as our kind of our main plot, and then fertilizer were our subplots. And then we replicated that four times. We also did soil sampling, so we took an initial soil sample before we planted the crop and then a soil sample after we harvested our crop, as well as during the growing season we monitored greenhouse gas emissions, and we've been doing this project up through this year, so 2015. So we do have data for the last 2 years, however, we've only analyzed the data from 2013 to 2014, so that's what you guys will be seeing today. For our lab analysis, we did, you know, your basic total C, total N analysis there. So we air dried our soil samples, ground them to pass through a 2 millimeter sieve, and then ran them with a CNN analyzer. Analyzer. For our greenhouse gas sampling, we used a static chamber method, which we left our chambers in the ground in the soil all the time, except when we were either planting or harvesting, and you're driving equipment, you don't want to run over your chambers. And we took our samples twice a week, once every 2 weeks or biweekly, and then we analyzed them with our gas chromatography. So if we go ahead and we look at some preliminary results for our 2014 growing season, if we look at our soils data, we see that there's not anything too exciting happening. We do have a few instances where our EC is a little bit higher for our 28 kilogram per hectare amount and our 84 kilogram per hectare amount. And then also our soil organic carbon seems to be higher for our middle two fertilizer rates, and not so much with our highest fertilizer rate. It seems like we may have hit a plateau there. But as we continue to analyze the data, we'll find out if that rings true. And then if we look down at our 10 to 20 centimeter depths, we can see that there's really not much happening there yet either. It's all pretty much statistically the same. This chart here is just to give you guys a general idea of when our study site gets a majority of their moisture. So we're seeing June is when a lot of our moisture comes, and then also in May is when we get a lot of it also. And so this becomes important when we go ahead and we look at our greenhouse gas fluxes. So this chart here is for our nitrous oxide, and you can see that there is quite a big peak there between about March and June. We have a lot of things happening here. We have the crops being planted, if we're talking about our carinata, and then we also have our fertilizer happening, and the ground's warming up, so we have those microbes that produce these greenhouse gases. They're alive, they're waking up, they're producing nitrous oxide with the fertilizer that's being applied, and then we also have that presence of that plant as it starts to grow. And so that is the explanation of that peak there, and you can kind of see then it kind of tapers down as our growing season wears on. However, we did notice we have higher fluxes for our higher two fertilizer rates, as could possibly be expected since you have more N substrate there to produce more nitrous oxide. If we go ahead and look at carbon dioxide, we see a similar trend. However, as that soil warms up and stays warm, we also see more production of carbon dioxide through either root respiration or microbial activity and stuff like that. And then methane flux as well is a little bit more variable as the growing season goes on, but we see that peak there at the beginning of our growing season when we have fertilizer applied and crops incorporated into the ground, and things starting to grow and live in our soil again. So if we turn and look at our crop yield, because that's what we were interested in, we see that the plots that were fertilized with the highest amount, so our 84 kilograms of N per hectare, that outperformed the other treatments. So we did not find any fertilizer plateau there. So that was kind of good. We were expecting to see, you know, higher fertilizer, more yield. And then if we look at crop performance, again, here we see in terms of statistics, there's some, statistical importance to these fertilizer rates, but it's not too crazy or outstanding. It's all pretty calm here. You can see that your fertilizer rate, though you may put more, you might have a smaller stand, but they'll grow taller, and then they'll take a little bit longer to mature, is kind of what we saw there. But I mean, it's not very far away from that mean stand height or stand percentage or days to flowering or anything. So our N rates really didn't have too drastic of an impact on our crop performance. For our conclusions, we found that soil organic carbon increased with the N rate, but the differences were not significant over all the rates, and as we go deeper down into the soil, those those depths did not see, an increase in soil organic carbon. They decreased, which was expected. We also noticed that our soil surface gas fluxes were highly variable, as they usually are, and we did not see any clear trend with those. If we keep monitoring that data, keep going and looking and analyzing at that, we may discover a trend and see if there's anything that we can do to kind of alter that trend. We also noticed that our greatest carinata yields happened with our highest fertilizer rate, which we expected to see again. And then we have that it is possible to find or generate good yields of carinata when we have adequate plant stands and precipitation, which we saw. We had a very good growing season for it in 2014. So some next steps to go with this project, as I mentioned before, we have data through this past growing season that we have yet to analyze, so we can go ahead and do that as along with our soils and greenhouse gas data. We'll start again in the spring planting carinata, and then something that could possibly done is for someone else to do is conduct a trial in a more arid environment. South Dakota is kind of split into two moisture regimes, and right now we're conducting this in the more moist regime, and so it might be interesting to see how it will perform out in a more arid climate where it may be more beneficial in terms of crop rotation and grazing and oilseed profits and things like that. So with that, I would like to acknowledge that funding for this project is supplied by the Oilseed Initiative, as well as thank everyone who has had a hand in this project, whether assisting and gathering samples or processing them. So thank you. That is a good question. I'm not entirely sure what one advantage over the other is, because I think they perform pretty much the same. It would probably just be grower preference as well. There may be something different in oil content, but then again, I am not entirely sure about that, so that would be something to look into to see. Thank you.